Blog Talk Radio.
You were born with a great. That great is your gift. It's a divine enablement. If you work with great, the great will work for you. Company, speak to left. Yes, they will. Desire. Don't you doubt. Yes, they will.
Grace that looks well, looks good on you, is God's gift that he has given us. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are truly happy to have each and every one of you all. I'm excited about the Word of God. I'm excited about what God has to say. Not what man has to say, but what God has to say. That's what's important. And the way you know that is through his word, praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to have a word of prayer. And then we're going to get into this lesson that we've been discussing this week. I'm going to take my time and try to pick up where we left off on yesterday. But first, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Your word says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. So we know it's your will, Father God, that we give thanks for everything. So we thank you, Father God, for things as well with us as they are. We thank you, first of all, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, that we learn who we are and what we are. It is in your word, Father God, in 1 Samuel 17:47. That the battle has already been won. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, that we declare that you are a present God. And you are a God of right now. You are a God who have declared victory for us. I thank you, Father God, according to 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. You declare that we have the victory. I believe it, Father God. I believe that we have the victory because we're in Christ. And therefore, Father God, we're everything that the word said that we can be in Christ. And I decree it and declare it right now that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. I declare right now, Father God, that because we're in Christ, Philippians 2:5 says that we can have his mind. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you for knowing that we can actually have the mind of Christ. I know, I understand, Father God, everybody don't receive the word of God, but I receive it. I receive it, and I pray that those that are listening will receive that God liked you like that. He loved you like that, that he will give you his son's mind. He will give you his son's ability. He will give you the ability, and in results, he will declare that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I thank you, Father God, for letting us know that the works that Jesus do, we can do also, and greater works, because you go to the Father. Without any buts, Father God, without any repentance, you have decreed and declared in your word, Father God, in 1 Peter 1:23, that we are your children, that we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, for forgiving us for all of our sins. Right now, we plead the blood. We plead the blood. We thank you, Father God, for Evangelist Renee, who's out of the hospital and being healed. I thank you for that. I thank you, Father God, for Evangelist William. Who's out of the hospital. We thank you for her. And we thank you for all those that have decreed and declared your word over their lives. I praise you for it. Give you the honor. I thank you, Father God, that you've given us doctors. Now, I want to say this to somebody because the Lord put it in my spirit. Jesus said, that's why you have physicians. But brother, sister, let me tell you what God expects for us to lean and depend on his higher power to take us on through. So I just wanted to put that out there like that, that you have position. And do not be ignorant of the fact that you have position. Jesus said it. And the sick, the physician is for the sick. So I thank God for it. I thank God for divine healing. I thank God for all of that, brothers and sisters. I just want to make sure that everybody understand that, hey, in everything give thanks. Everything. Doesn't matter what it is. If you understand it or not, still give thanks. I thank God for the spiritual man that's in each and every one of us. And when I say the spiritual man, that's not a male as such as he being the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the spirit that is already in us and that's working on our behalf. Thank you, and we praise you, and we give you the glory, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And everybody agree with this prayer, said amen, amen, hallelujah. We surely appreciate it. Okay, we're going to get back to where we were yesterday. We're talking from actually the book of Joel. Let the weak say, I'm strong. So calling yourself will change your situation. Saying what the word of God say will change your situation. Doesn't matter what you've been taught. Doesn't matter what I've been taught. Doesn't matter what the world say. It's what the word of God says. Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4 say, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word. When will the body of Christ depend on the word of God? So that's where we're at. We're calling those things to be not as though they were. We're saying what the word of God says. I know your mind don't want to receive that. I get it. I get it, man. I get it. It's a battle going on. When you got to say, the weak got to say, they're strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. You have to say, I am strong. You have to say that. I can't say that for you. I love to say that, but it won't help you. It's only going to help when you say it. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's get into this, and then we'll pick up exactly what we just. Because actually, brothers and sisters, let me tell you what. When we can get to this place of calling those things to be not as though they were, like Abraham did, then we can begin to minister grace. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing, ministering grace. Grace is not just designed to help you, okay? I know you're saved by grace. I get all that. I know what's been taught out there. But God given a new revelation on what grace means. Grace, that's the thing that saved you, and we'll get into that in a little bit, because you need to know. Not only does grace save you, but grace helped you in the apostleship. Grace helped you in obedience. The Bible says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. How did that happen? By the grace of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we are justified by grace. We're made right by his grace. See, we've never really gotten into the revelation of grace, but grace is designed for us to minister in, to use it as a tool, if you will. The Bible said being justified freely by his grace. You were made right by his grace. So if you did all these things, matter of fact, the Bible goes on to say that now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So here it is, brothers and sisters. We have to come to a place that we began to let our faith work into this grace, began to trust God's grace, began to rejoice in his grace. Hallelujah. Because he expects that out of us. Yeah. I know all we've been taught that all grace was designed to do was to save us. Okay, you saved by grace. Praise God. Now, there's another level to this. There's another layer to this. And it's way beyond just what the natural teaches. It's what the spirit teaches. And that's where we're going today, okay? And so when we read from the book of Joel, hallelujah, we read from the book of Joel, I'm going to ask Evangelist William, if she'd be so kind to read it out the foundational scripture from the book of Joel, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse. And then I'm going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll read it out of the Messenger Bible. Hallelujah.
That's Pastor Joel 3:10 from the King James Version. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. And Pastor, just this scripture, I like to read it from the New Living Translation because it's more plainer. And reading Joel 3:10 from the New Living Translation, it says, hammer your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Train even your weaklings to be warriors. Amen.
Amen. Hammer your plow lid into the sword and your pruning shears into spears. Weakens should say that they are warriors. So even though you are not this, you are to say you are that. But let me be clear here. Even though you're not strong, you're weak. Barely get up. Can hardly make it. But he said, hey, I want you to say you're strong. Speak it. Listen, brothers and sisters. God expects for us to be obedient to his word. Advance over what the enemy is saying. So you start by speaking. You began by saying what the words say. You say stuff that the enemy, he don't want you to say it now. Let me be real clear with this, okay? Because I don't want nobody to. God knows you're not that. He knows that. He knows that these folks was weak. But he wasn't focusing in on their weakness. He was focusing in on their faith. He was focusing in on what they would say in the midst of their trials, in the midst of their defeat, in the midst of their weakness. God is telling us what to say. You know what Paul said over there in the book of Philippians? Do I need to remind you? He said when God told him that his grace was sufficient, when God told Paul that his grace was sufficient, listen, brothers and sisters, that meant it's adequate. It can take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. If you need to minister, it's good. It's sufficient. It's adequate. If you need to lay hands, the grace that's on your life, listen, beloved. The grace that's on your life is adequate. It's sufficient.
Amen.
It'll take care of it. But whatever it needs, in other words, it's just like you having a banker. It'll take care of it. Go down there and whatever you need, just tell the banker. And it'll exceed that. It'll give you more than what you need. See, that's how God operates. Grace operates like that. That's how grace operates. He give you more than what you need. All the children of Israel wanted to do was just go cross over and get away from Pharaoh. But God gave more than that. He let them go cross on dry ground. See, that water, that after that water been there now, the Red Sea should have been muddy there. Should have been very muddy. But God went beyond that. He let the bottom just dry out so they could walk through on dry ground, made dust, instead of getting stuck in the mud. They got across. And then God didn't stop right there. He waited till all of Pharaoh's army got up in there. And to make sure they see this, God waited. And then he let the water, boom, come back on them. That's how God, I want you to know, I got you. So listen, brothers and sisters, that's how grace works. When you work in the grace will work for you. It's a gift. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. That's God's gift. Well, like any other gift, the only way you receive these gifts any gift, you have to receive it, or it's not a gift. It ain't just placed on you. I mean, I can give you this all day. It's not yours until you actually receive it. Last time I checked, that's the way that you have to receive it. Any gift.
Mm-hmm.
Any gift.
Mm-hmm.
Have to receive it. Well, a lot of people, they sit back and think, you assume, you don't assume this gift, brothers and sisters. You don't assume that. You don't assume that. You have to receive it. It's not automatic. Oh, well, you know, I got saved 20 years ago, so I got it then. No, you didn't, because you didn't receive it. God can't put anything on you that you don't want. You may not agree to it. God is not that kind of God. He is not that kind of God. So when God told Paul over in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, I like all those verses in there because Paul speaks up and says, hey, man, if this is my infirmity, I'd rather glory in my infirmities than to glory in what the devil trying to get me to say. Because, see, the enemy came to him, to make him seem like he was great because God was giving him revelation. And Paul wasn't going for it. He had all this revelation about the church, but he wasn't finna say he was above Christ. He wasn't finna go above what God had did for him. So he went to God about the situation. Went to him in the morning and in the noon and in the evening. And finally God told him, said, hey, listen, Paul, my grace is adequate. It's sufficient for you. You can handle it, okay? You can handle it.
Amen.
That's what grace does. Get to handle situation. Even as ministering. Listen, brothers and sisters. I want y'all to hear this. I hope you read it out. I read it with clarity. But in Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4:29. I want y'all to listen with your spirit. And let the Spirit of God tell you what this is saying. Because if you let your head, you'll miss it. But if you let the Spirit, he'll show you the revelation in this. Read that for us, Evangelist William, please.
Ephesians 4:29 from the King James Version. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Reading from the Message Bible. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word a gift. Amen.
Amen.
But what are you saying? We are to, and then let me tell you what the other verse said. It said, now don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. He says, so don't let that bitter wrath and all that, I imagine. He says, in other words, he's saying, let the words of God's word proceed out of your mouth. See, anything outside of the word of God could be considered as corrupt. I know what we've been taught, you know, that corrupt is cursing and yada, yada, yada and all that. I get all that. But that's not what he's talking about. He's not just talking about dirty words, talking dirty, saying curse words. Because that's how we've been taught. But see, when it comes to spiritual things, that's not what he's talking about. That's of the heathens. That's the worldly stuff. Let's get into the box with God and see what he's talking about. God said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. So what's good? The word of God. What's good for edifying? The word of God. Why? So that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's what we do. We need to minister grace unto the hearer, bless God. So,
amen.
Back to where we were yesterday. I just want to show you how you minister grace to people, to the hearer. They need to know that, yes, you're the light of the world. Tell them that. Tell them that the word of God says you're the salt of the earth. That's okay. They need to hear that because you're ministering to them. So don't get me started on your ministry of reconciliation. So in 2 Corinthians 5:18-19, I want y'all to read that, if you will. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. This is what we're doing, brothers and sisters.
Yes, Pastor. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible, look at it. All this comes from God, who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationship with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sin. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. Amen.
Did you hear that? Did you really hear that? You are Christ's representative. So what did Christ operate in? He operated in grace. What God operated in grace. What we're supposed to be ministering is grace. What we're supposed to be doing is reconciling. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying to reconcile is to bring people back to God, to state, hey, God is, he's not mad at you, no matter what you've done. He's not angry with you. There's no more conflict. God has said, he's given his son for you. So our job is to reconcile people back to God. Put them back. We're representing Christ now. Our job is to let people know that the conflict is over.
Hallelujah.
The differences have been settled. We're no longer that anymore. See, so don't allow the enemy to keep that stuff in your heart. Well, they done sinned. They done did this. No, sin. The sin problem is over. Okay? Now, this is going to newsflash. Hold up. Newsflash. Breaking news. Sin problem is over. We got a righteous problem. We got a problem not doing what God says. We're not distributing the grace of God. That's the issue here. Ain't a sin problem, because the Bible says God made Jesus to be sin for you. That became the sin right there, that you may be the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I got some receipts for you if you need them. But no, brothers and sisters, that foolish way of thinking that, oh, well, God done put all that sin on us and we got to work out our sins. You can't do nothing with sin. Stop lying to yourself. Stop it. What you going to do with sin? You can't do nothing with it. Well, I don't have to sin. Well, you ain't know what sin been taken care of. And even if you don't sin, you can't take care of the problem, because the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life. So you hadn't died for your sin yet. You hadn't used an animal. So how are you taking care of your sin? Explain that. Oh, because you're not sleeping around, you're not drinking, you're not this, and you're not that, so therefore you're not sinning. Baloney. Foolish. Stop it. That doesn't take care of sin because you're not doing this and you're not doing that and you're not. That don't take care of sin. Who told you that lie? That don't take care of no sin. You still got a problem. You got to deal with the sin. You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Deal with it. How you going to take care of it? Well, the only way that you can take care of your sin is to use Christ. Use God's offering like they did in the Old Testament. They used bulls and they used the calves, and they use the blood of an animal. They use a lamb blood. They use ashes. Come on. How do you take care of the sin problem? You don't take care of it by not doing it. And I was talking to somebody yesterday. That's ignorant to think because you're not doing stuff, you ain't took care of no sin problem. You didn't even put a Band-Aid on it. Jesus took care of the sin problem, okay? Let that be real to you, brother. And until you accept that God made Jesus to be your sin, you're not smarter than the fifth grade. Until you accept that Jesus has become your sin offering, you're still wallowing in your sin because of your mindset. Because your mind set on, oh, well, I got to do this and I got to do this. That's all Satan wants you to think. It's what you got. You can't do nothing. Shut up. Hush. Sit down. You can't do anything except what God did. So in John 1, he says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. We need to just go on and accept what he did, and let's become the sons of God. That don't mean male. That means his spirit. And began to minister grace unto the hearer. That's what we've been called to do. It's to minister grace, not condemnation. Therefore, now is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We are to teach people to get in harmony with God. God done forgave people. And you still want them to pay for some sin that you can't pay for them. Your mama didn't pay for them. Your granddad didn't pay for them. Your pastor didn't pray for them. Your bishop didn't pray for them. And I don't care what day you go to church, you ain't paying for singing. Stupid. Get away from that crazy way of thinking.
Yes.
Do I care if you get mad? No, not really. I mean, I care enough to say, you know what, let's reason together. Let's come and say what the Word of God says. If the Word of God says, therefore now is no condemnation, well, why are you trying to make somebody condemned? No, let's minister grace unto people. So that's pretty much what this is about, brothers and sisters. It's about how you say to the weak, you're strong. It's about how you say to people, I know that, you know, I want to put this in the right. Let them know that they're an enemy against the devil, that you're not buying that. You're not buying what the devil say. But you are alive unto Christ. Let's start ministering the grace of God unto people. First, by telling them, hey, get born again. Well, how do you do that? By running around in a building? By jumping up and down? How do you get born again? Well, teach them that 1 Peter 1:23. See, this is nothing I'm saying. This is what the Word of God, it tells you how you get born again. I don't care about, well, your church said to do it this way. I don't care what. Yeah. No, tell me what the Word of God say. See, in 1 Peter 1:23, that's what I'd be wanting to hear. Because, see, I already understand Ephesians 1:7. I understand Hebrews 9:14, that we've been forgiven of all our sin and washed in his blood. That's real to me. That's not real to everybody, but that's real to me. I know I've been forgiven. So if I'm forgiven, why am I trying to work for something I've been forgiven for? That's pointless. Why am I trying to pay a bill that's already been paid? That's pointless. I'm not doing that one. I'm not going out here and pay my tax bill if it's already been paid. I'm not going out here and pay my water bill. It's already paid. For real? Are you serious? Come on now. Come on. It's already paid. I'm not playing church here, okay? That's what I'm not going to do anymore. I'm going to keep it real. Read 1 Peter 1:23, please.
Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Amen.
Your new life comes from God's word. God's word get in our spirit. It gets in our spirit, and it change us. And our desire is to be that of the word of God, just like your human desire. And one of these days, when the Lord says so, I'm going to teach about the two nature, because Satan tricks a lot of people up thinking you only got one nature. When you've been born again of the word of God, you got two nature. You really do. And I'll show you that in the scripture. But that's another message for another day. But he said that we are born again, not of corruptible seed. In other words, you're born again, but it had nothing to do with your daddy's sperm. Had nothing to do with that. It's a whole new thing here. This seed, it's not like your daddy's seed, your mama's stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. This is the word of God in you now. That's what bringing you to life. That's what's giving you this life now. And when you get it, help me, Holy Ghost. When you get it, that's what you want to survive. That's what you want to know. That's what you want to be fed by, is that word. So that's what we got to minister to people. We got to let them know God have already forgiven them. He ain't going to do anything. It's done. All they got to do is start saying what the word of God say. I know you think you're not saved. I know you feel you're not saved. But let the weak say they are strong. Even though you may not know that you're a creation, just start saying it. Well, preacher, why should I say it? I don't feel it. I don't feel it. And then, too, what is facts? I got to keep it real. No, you're not keeping it real, because if you keep it real, you'll keep it based on the word of God. So what the word of God say? The word of God said, let those that not that say that they are that. Let those that have not arrived go ahead on and say you have arrived. Go ahead on and claim it. Declare it, because it's the word of God. His will over your life. The devil is not bigger than God. So what he says is not bigger than the word of God. Then if you believe that, then act like that. When he says that the curse is over, what you say? You say the curse is over. See, sin is a curse. There's a lot of stuff cursed. Y'all don't even want me to go there with this stuff that's a curse. Do your research. You'd be surprised. The law is a curse. It's called the law of sin and death. It's a curse. We're not to live by that. But we're to live by the grace of God. That's what have brought us. That's what have gotten us where we're at. That's where we're to live at. And then that's what we're to minister to. It's the grace of God.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, he telling them, these people, I know. I understand. You weak. I get that. But hey, you finna be strong. I understand you're not saved, but you finna be saved. You know why? Because you're gonna declare to the word of God, Lord, I'm living by your word now. Whatever you show me in your word is what I'm living by. So that's like saying the weak is saying they're strong. See, you gotta think faith all the time. And then you will receive it. But if you don't think it, you can't receive it. You know, Jesus says, so is a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you got to get that kind of thought in you. See, we got to pray according to God's will. And it is God's will. It is God's will that we rejoice in his word. It is God's will. I read over there in Joel 2. I'm going to share this, and then we're going to go. If anybody have anything to say, we'll just take it from there. But I read over there in, I think it was Joel 2 and 23, God telling the people to rejoice. Rejoice now, man, because you got the word of God. God telling you, hey, you can say those, call those things to be not as though they were. Rejoice, because you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to give you the end results now. Preach. I'm trying to do the best I can. I want y'all to hear this. How about you farm a farmer? He knows this, and you probably saw enough of this. You plant the seed today, and you can get the crop today. That ain't normally how it works. Well, let me let you read it. Let's go to Joel 2, 23.
Joel 2:23 from the King James Version. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, children of Zion, celebrate. Be glad in your God. He's giving you a teacher to train you how to live right, teaching like rain out of heaven, showers of words to refresh and nourish your soul, just as he used to do, and plenty of food for your body. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, be glad. Get happy, man. Get happy. And rejoice in the Lord. You're a child of God. You ought to be rejoicing. Why? Because he's given us a new rain. Right now he's giving us this stuff, giving us this knowledge, giving us, you know, ministering. I mean, he's giving us this stuff. Rejoice.
Man.
It's coming down. The rain is coming down. And the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now, I know that may be a little difficult for some of y'all, but that's why I'm trying to explain to you how that works. How that works is you plant the seed today, you should get a harvest, you know, I don't know, 6 weeks from now. God said, no, you ain't got to wait. Because you plan today, because you believe in this, I'm going to give it to you right now. I'm going to give it to you right now. So go on and rejoice. Man, you tell me a farmer ain't going to be happy. He can plant the seed today and go out there this evening and start getting his harvest. What farmer wouldn't be happy?
Amen.
How about you go to work today, and they're going to give you the paycheck for the whole month? I want to make this clear to you. I want to try to, some kind of way you get this. That's why you ought to be rejoicing. Who goes to work? Say, I'm finna work this first. I'm finna work this first day. And he finna pay me for the whole week. Who wouldn't do that? You ain't even put the work in yet. Come on now. Come on.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to say, I'm finna go to work, but I'm going to get my whole month's pay in one walk. All I got to do is just show up for work that one day. Yeah, that's something to rejoice about.
Yes,
he calls and that to happen. That's what the grace of God does, brothers and sisters. When God finds favor in you, not so much you find favor in God. You're looking for grace in God. God looking for grace in you. Just like he did with Mary. Mm-hmm. Just like he did with Noah. God looking for grace, his grace in us. Start operating like that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. To be not as though they were. Okay. We're at a point now where, you know, anybody have any thing they want to share or anything that wasn't clear. Uh-oh, wait a minute, hold up. Auntie Daniel is sharing. Hello?
Not in the bedroom, though. Not in the bedroom?
Yes.
Well, guess what? If I do, I'll turn them down. I have sex. Because the picture he has of his mother is all, it's a headshot. And it's all face.
Oh, okay. Well, she must have hung up. Okay. Okay. We got three drop calls here. But it's okay. I'm not sure what was going on, but praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody else have anything they want to share? Anything you want to share?
Well, Pastor, when we go back to 1 Peter 1:23, reading it from the New Living Translation, says, "For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God." Amen. So
amen.
When you were saying that we have to be fed the word of God, you know, it made me think about how in the Old Testament, when the ravens bring the, you know, would bring that twig to, well, it might not be a twig. I probably have to go back and read it. Was it barley? Okay, thank you, Lord. And to Noah. And so it just lets me know, you know, that we need to be fed God's word daily. And, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I got it today and I'm going on, you know, I ain't got to do it again till maybe, what, Bible study on Wednesday night or Tuesday night, whenever they have it. But we need to be fed this word daily. And so that's what I like about this, when you say being fed by the word of God. So we need to be in it daily so that our spiritual man can be fed daily. Just like we eat daily, you know, unless we're fasting. But, you know, we'll get up and we'll get that coffee or get that toast or, you know, get something to eat. And we do that daily. So I feel like we should be in God's word daily. And that'll strengthen our inner man as we draw closer to the Lord.
Well, it's beyond a feeling, it's the truth. The Bible says that we're supposed to meditate in the word of God day and night, Joshua 1:8. So that's what we're supposed to do all day, all night. It's two times, day and night. So the word of God should always be in our hearts. The word of God should always be a point of reference, if you will. I know that may not make sense to a lot of people, but what you're saying is true. You know why? Because that's what you're living on. That's what you're thriving on. It's the word of God. That's what's nourishing you. It's the word of God. So your answer should be the word of God, not what you feel now, but what the word of God says. See?
Amen.
So why would I say, call those things to be not as though they were? Why would I tell somebody sick, gonna say you were? Well, I'm not telling that because that's what the word of God say. I ain't bigger than God. I ain't smarter than God. I mean, I would love to think I got that much wisdom. I don't have that, brothers and sisters. I don't have to know that because I read it in the Word. If I hadn't read that, I wouldn't know that.
Amen.
I ain't that smart. Only reason I know that because I read it. And I said, oh, the Lord says, share that. Minister to people. Tell them, let the weak say they're strong. I said, Lord, what are these folks going to think? I'm on something, telling them to say something that they're not. Because I actually had one lady tell me, so I ain't going to tell that lie. It's not a lie. It's not a lie. Satan wants you to
Amen.
Say it's a lie because that's where he operates. But it's not a lie. It's the word of God.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can do that.
Yeah,
when Abraham, being 99 and Sarah 99, and she talking about she was pregnant, they weren't lying. That was faith speaking.
Amen.
That's how faith
yeah.
talk. If you never heard faith talk, then you'll think it's a lie. But once you hear faith talk, then when Jesus said,
yeah.
if you believe, now go tear that mountain, be thou removed, you ain't lying.
Yeah. Amen.
Tell the mountain to get out your way. He said, it'll obey you. And then over there in Mark 11:23, whatever come out your mouth and you believe it and don't doubt it, he said, that's what it's going to be. Oh, really? Yes, that's going to be the message for today. Whatever come out of your mouth and you don't doubt it, well, I went up there and I told the mountain to get out the way because you doubted it. See, the word of God ain't going to be no lie. You'll be the liar, not the word of God. So
okay.
if you're fair and not doubt, find a way to get rid of doubt. Shoot doubt out the back door. Say, no, I don't care what I feel, what I think. The word of God says it, so I'm believing it. That's it, man. That settles it right there. If he said it, do it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to look ignorant. I'm not going to look stupid. Who you looking stupid to? They ain't got no heaven or hell to put you in. Who you looking stupid to? Your peers?
Right.
But you got a master? Got a master? Got a husband, wife? Who are you looking stupid to? You need to be checking God out.
Amen.
What you think Pharaoh, how you think Moses felt when God told him, you go down there and tell Pharaoh to let your boat go.
Mm-hmm.
And then God said, I'm going to give you one better. Stick that rod out and watch what that rod do. See, most of us wouldn't do that. You know this is a piece of wood, and you're going to stick it out because God told you to stick it out, and it's going to become a serpent, too, and it's going to eat up that serpent. Yeah, you ain't finna do it because you ain't finna be embarrassed. But you see, that's where you got to die to that old way of thinking. Let it go. Put the word of God above everything, what you think, what you feel. Put the word of God above all that. Anybody else before we close here? Hallelujah. Appreciate y'all. Anybody, press one. Hallelujah. Oh, okay. All righty. Okay. 7300.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
The Lord is made. Don't we will rejoice and be glad in it. Calling to give a praise report. By his stripes, I am healed. It's not going to be in my time. It's going to be in his time. And I'm going to be patient and let him lead and direct the people that come in here to treat this wound. And I know it will be healed because I saw it with my own eyes, with my foot. You would never
Amen.
Know it was open this day.
Amen.
So I'm claiming by his stripes I am healed. This hole is going to fill itself up. This pain is going to cease. And God is going to get all the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Praise God.
Well, thank you so much,
Amen.
Evangelist. Praise report. Hallelujah. I'm rejoicing because I know it's already done.
Yeah.
It's already done.
Yes,
so you called it already done. She already healed.
Yeah.
If you wait on your
Amen.
Eyes and tell you the manifestation, you'll never see it. Because your optical nerve can't tell you that. The Spirit told you to say that. So the Spirit need to reveal to you it's already done.
Hallelujah.
That's what it's already done. What we have to do is go ahead on and speak it. and say, thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you for your deliverance. Yeah. See, we go ahead on and thank him for it because it's done. Yeah. I know your mind and your eyes, because I deal with the same kind of stuff. Your eyes want to say, well, once your eye see it, then you say, no, that ain't when you say it right now. You don't wait till the walls come tumbling down to rejoice. Remember Jericho? They start marching around. They start rejoicing. The walls are still standing up there. They rejoicing. That's what God expects for us to do.
Thank you, Lord.
Just say they will. Don't get well and then say it. That's the world's way.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's not how this works. You say it. You say it before you well.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Y'all finna make me stop preaching. Now, I didn't want to go there, but you finna make me do this. You say you well when you sick. Don't wait till you get well, because if you well, then the well can say they well. That's not what that said. You might have missed something there. It didn't say the well. Well, you know, well, when. No. That's not how this works. It works better when you sick, because the sick have to say they're well. The weak have to say they're strong. Don't get strong. I'm going to build all these muscles up and then say, you know what? I'm strong. The strong. But then that's the strong saying they're strong. No. That's not what he says here. What he says is, why you're weak here, you're weak, you can't pick up a toothpick, you began to declare and decree that I'm strong. So you say it.
Yeah.
You say the results. That's where God wants the body of Christ. But somebody may ask, well, why is God wanting us like that? Because it's the end of time, brothers and sisters. God expects us to be one with him. Whatever he would say, that's what we need to be saying. We don't need to be bowing to Satan and his weakness and stuff. No, we need to be saying the same thing God's saying right now. Right now.
All right. Hallelujah.
So going forward, if you broke, declare you rich. Don't ask me how to do it. That's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
If you down, don't ask me how you gonna get up. I can't tell you that. I can tell you that if you down, you can say you up.
Mm-hmm.
And you believe it because God's word tells you to say it.
Amen.
If you broke, say, I'm not broke anymore. No more broke. No more broke. Me got money now. No more broke. Me got money. Doesn't matter how much more. See, when you broke, a dollar is big money. When you see.
Yeah.
Then and she just testified. She, for those that were listening, she just testified. Hey, I know God can do it. I know he can do it. Because he did it for my foot.
Yeah.
But anyway, anybody else? Thank you so much, Evangelist Renee. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, whoever that was that hung up. I know we got 4357 gone. We got 5666 gone. We got 5656. But thank y'all so much. If nothing else, we'll see y'all tomorrow. Thankful Thursday.